In Proverbs chapter 15. I want to remind you tonight that God sees everything. 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 God sees everything. In Proverbs chapter 15, it's one verse I'm just going to share right now. It says, "The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good." Keeping watch on the wicked and the good. That means God is watching. Now, I shared something with you last Sunday that we had this thing about we're afraid that God's going to come down and smite us, and you know that we're talking about the fear of God, and isn't that we need to be afraid that God's going to smite us and destroy us, but that the bigger fear should be that we're afraid that it's not God putting his hands on us, it's that we're fearful that God's going to take his hands off of us. But God is watching. He is watching everything. Everything. Genesis says a lot about God in this area. When he created everything, he looked at everything and he said, "It is good." God was watching. God turns around and he speaks to Cain and he says, "Where's your brother Abel?" God was watching. Okay? Genesis chapter 6, we see God watching again, and he sees the world, and he says, "In the heart of all men, all it is, all in their hearts is evil, evil thoughts." And he was grieved that he made man. And God was watching. God was watching in Genesis chapter 11. We see there in the Tower of Babel. The Bible says that the Lord came down. He's watching. Watching Sodom and Gomorrah. He was watching. We also see that God is watching all through the Bible. All through it. Even Nineveh. He saw that. And also in Matthew chapter 3, we see that God saw Jesus being baptized in this. He said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." God is watching. And I want to take one story tonight and show you how God is watching. All right? Exodus chapter 3. Let's powerhouse through a little bit of the call upon Moses' life. And the calling, this guy's, he's herding some animals, he's doing some things, and God's going to mess him up and call him to do something, and he's picking him out. I don't know how God chooses people, but God knows how he does. And God knows, and God doesn't pick the way that the world picks. He doesn't pick people that, God picks the way that he picks. And he picks people that the world would say is unqualified. He would pick people that, sometimes he usually uses high educated people. Sometimes he uses people that have no education. Sometimes he uses fishermen. He uses tax collectors. He uses all kinds of people. And God makes a big moment here. Even with guys like Gideon and Moses, who feel like they're unworthy. We'll get there in a minute. I want you to go to Exodus chapter 3. Now, there's a lot in here. We're not going to cover all of it. But I do want to start here in verse 7. But just to bring you there, God has called up Moses, this fiery piece there. There's a great piece before that about humbling yourself and about the holiness of God. But that's not where we're going tonight. It's about God watching, okay, as God sees, all right? So we see Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. It says, "The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites and the Jebusites. And now the cry of Israel has reached me, and I have seen the way of the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to the Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to the Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will bring with you, and this I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. And when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship on this mountain. Okay, so we see some things here that God is speaking. There's a lot that we see about God here as he's instructing and speaking to Moses. And I really like this. There's only a few characters where we see in scriptural reading that God spoke so much to an individual that we have in writing. Now we know that they're in the, you know, that we have in scripture. Moses is one, Job is another. Okay? It just there's a lot there. There's a few, okay, where there's a lot written. And here it just seems like when you find these moments where God gets really personal about some details. And I don't want us to miss these details tonight. The first thing we see is this, is God sees the oppression, the oppressed, the sufferings of these people. God sees it. I want to remind you, God sees what's going on in the world today. Suffering and oppression is not new to him. It is happening, and it happened then, and it's happening now. But God sees it. But so many people say, well, why doesn't God do anything about it? How can God be a loving God if he allows it? How can God let these things happen? Listen, many times we choose that. Inadvertently, we choose it. Now, it's not the purpose why we don't go out and we pick oppression, but the lifestyle that we choose sometimes ends up being oppressed or the sufferings from things. But sometimes life happens. We live in a broken world. We live in a sinful world. Now, getting on off sidetrack, reminder, this is not our home. Okay? We just passing through. This is not our home. We just passing through. But it is a broken world, okay? And God says, I have seen the oppression. That means God is watching. Moses didn't know God was watching. Moses was watching his animals. He's doing his thing. But God is watching. God's been watching this for a while. Matter of fact, there's some previous prophecy that this was already going to happen. But not only did God see the oppression, but we see that God says that he uses something that is very personal. He says, my people. They're my people. He says, my people in Egypt, which means I know where they are. They're in Egypt. These are my people. Let me tell you tonight, God knows where all of his believers are. All the people that put their faith in his son, he knows where they all are. In good positions and bad positions. In safe places and in unsafe places. God knows and sees where they all are. Okay? He says, these are my people. All right? My people. And he also, the Bible, he also says, he says, I have heard them crying, their sorrows. He says, I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. God hears, not only sees, but he hears all the way to heaven, all the way to his throne. He hears the cries of his people. You know, when you're praying, he hears you. Your prayers aren't bouncing off. They may feel like it, but he's watching and hearing. We have an awesome God. That we have that part where he hears us and he hears our cries. And tonight there'll be several people crying tonight in their beds because of news from the doctor, the news from the police, that someone that they know they have lost. There'll be a lot of tear-filled beds tonight. But there'll also be beds tonight that'll be have joy, that of young couples going to get married tomorrow, or someone's going to have a baby tomorrow and they're excited, and someone's going to graduate, someone's going to And there's others that are broken because of other news. And there's people that's going to get up because they're not sure about this and that. So there's all kinds of things. But I want to tell you, when you fall asleep, God is watching. God is watching. He hears your cries at night. He hears those cries. And you know what I love about it? God's going to do something. You know, when God hears and sees us and our cries, those of you that have peace with the Lord, you know sometimes when you know that the Lord is just sitting next to you? It almost feels like He's just sitting right next to you. He's doing something. You know what He's doing? He's comforting you. He's letting you know that you're not there alone. Yeah, this thing's happening in your life, but He's sitting right next to you, and He's available, making Himself available. I'm not available for everyone, nor are you. But God is. Why? Because He's God. He made a world. He's in control of it. But He says, I'm going to do something about it. I have indeed seen the misery of my people. And so God has a vision. You know, when churches are struggling, it always comes back to a lot of things. But when a church is struggling on, they're trying to figure out how to grow, one of the big things they try to teach is they want to know real quick, what's the vision of the church? Church is trying to figure out, and they can have a lot of people, and they're like, we just don't know where we're going. Question, what's the vision of the church? God is a visionary. Don't think that God just turned around and made earth without thinking about it. God is a visionary. God's a visionary. And God is a vision of Him getting the people out of Egypt. He says, I've seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying because of their slave drivers. So I've come down to rescue them. God is a great rescuer. You all that are believers tonight, you know this, that you were living in your sin, and He came and He rescued you. But He doesn't just rescue. He says, I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land. And I believe that God wants to redeem those and save those who are lost and bring them up out of that lifestyle and put them in the direction that is in God's will. Where there's a peace with God. There's a peace there. And God has a vision. Jesus came so that all might be saved. For God so loved the world. There's a vision that people would come to Christ. There's a vision for His people to be free. And what is it? What does it look like? And to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land. Taking you out of this land and journey you over to this land. Now in between, God doesn't always tell us what's going to happen. For these people, it was a roller coaster. It was a roller coaster. Can I tell you, when someone comes to Christ, let's not think that they're going to be this A1 Christian tomorrow. If they come to Christ today, they're not going to be this A1 ready to be deacon person tomorrow. Their tongues are going to slip. They're trying to work and process that. God knows this. The problem with these people later on is they can't get Egypt out of their own mind. Many of them want to go back. And don't we see that with some people who want to be Christians but doesn't really grab onto it? They go back. But God has a vision. And He says, into a good, spacious land and into this home. This is the home of all these other people. And He says, and now the cry of the Israelites have reached me. Isn't that amazing? The cries of my people have reached me. Let me ask you, have you ever prayed and you know that your prayer has reached God? You ever have a prayer request? You ever have prayers answered? They reached God. And when you pray, they all reach God. I'll get there in a minute. But he says, again, I have seen the oppression. He's telling Moses these things. God's not telling himself because he needs to remember. God is telling Moses because he wants Moses to know what's happening. And this is amazing because once you see the life of Moses, the Bible will be very clear that God would speak through prophets and through dreams and through visions. But when it comes to Moses, God just spoke to Moses. Wow. And Moses didn't sign up for that. But God goes, you calls him from a burning bush. And sometimes you don't know what ministry or you're doing for the Lord, and he just goes, you. You know why he knows and he does that? Because we don't even know the potential of our own self. Hey, we don't even know what God has put into us. We don't even know our highest abilities. And then he says, so now, I'm sending you. What? Me? We? How many of you? Did God call you to do something and said, me? I am not. No, I don't. No, it's not. No. Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to the Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? If you jump over to chapter 4, verse 10, Moses said to the Lord after some more conversation, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow in speech and tongue. I'm going to give some excuses. Let me remind you that if God calls a person or a church to do something and God gives a vision, it's always bigger than the people, but never bigger than God. If he calls a person to do something, of course it has to be bigger than them. And the vision of the church has to be bigger than the people. Because be a piece where they need God to be a part of it. It's always going to be bigger. And it cannot be accomplished without God. And we're all inadequate. But the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I am inadequate, but through God I can do these things. So it makes us have to rely and lean on the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, right? This is what I talk about. When you read scriptures, you learn it, you apply it, and then you learn to experience it. And experience it is knowing that, yes, I cannot do this, but I'm going to take a step of faith and do it through Christ. Let Christ do that through me, and me through that. But after Moses says this piece here in chapter 4, the Lord said to him, in verse 11, it reminds me of the book of Job, but who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. You know, I like that part there. He says, I will teach you what to say. Ooh, we're going to have another conversation. Which can be very scary. But Moses, sometimes we wonder how Moses got through this, but you know what? We are like that too, right? But Moses said, oh Lord, please send someone else to do it. So many times we want someone else to do it because we don't want to give up the time. We don't believe we're adequate or whatever. I want to share. There was a time when my first time really getting into ministry, there was a moment in the church in Fort Wayne that I was a part of, and me and Carla were a part of, and Alex was very, very young, and I think we just had Alex at the time. And they said, oh, Children's Church really needs some help. So I was like, man, maybe I'll just go back there and say, I'll help you. So this lady comes up to me, and she says, I heard that you were interested. Yeah, yeah, I think I'll be a part of it. Okay, great. So next Sunday you'll be here. And I walked away for about a couple of minutes. I'm like, what did I just do? I went back to that lady and said, I don't think I can do this. And she stomps her foot and she said, I have been doing this for 5 or 6 years and I've got no help. You ain't getting out of this now. And what happened was, when I came in, she was just done. And I didn't know what I was doing. Nobody trained me. I didn't know what I was doing. But the Lord was behind the scenes. And he made me this magnet. These kids, we just magnetized each other. You know, you can't make that happen. Where you just, you're fitting like a glove in there. You just, and things are just, all of a sudden it's just, things are starting to grow. They're starting to work. And so, yeah, I was saying, pick somebody else. But sometimes the Lord gets angry when you keep saying no. It says in verse 14, then the Lord's anger burned against Moses. Don't tell the Lord no over and over and over. Please don't do that. I'm just trying to save you some heartbreak. Because you know the Lord gets what he wants. Hello? The Lord always gets what he wants. And if you don't want it, he knows how to break you. He knows how to take that wheel and spin that clay in. And if you're stubborn and you're stubborn, sometimes the blessing well starts drying up. He knows how to get our attention. And the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, what about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way. There's nothing you can do and tell God that you're going to change. There's nothing you're going to do. If God has a vision, it's his vision. When God has a mission, there's a vision, there's a mission. That's the how-to. The vision is what you see out there. It's to be. And God saw it. My people's going to a promised land. But there's a mission. It's how to do it. And God always picks a person or a people. Someone that just doesn't seem adequate. Like Moses. Like Gideon. Like Lee. Like the tax collector. Peter, James, those guys. But then when it's a believer, listen to me. Nobody wants to listen. Nobody didn't want to believe. He'll make a man mute because he didn't believe he was going to be a daddy. And he was a believer, strong believer. He's a leader. Caused Jonah to get swallowed up by a whale. You see, when you know who the Lord is, the telling him no, that don't work anymore. In the beginning, it seems like God has some grace and mercy in that area, but it's still going to work it. But once you become a believer and you know him, and that spirit testifies inside of you, and you got that Holy Spirit, and you want to buck the system, listen, the Bible says, and believe me, the Bible says the Lord disciplines those whom he loves. And the Lord knows how to whoop the bottom. Amen? We don't want to do that. Okay? We don't want to do that. I want to give you three quick things as I close out. Three quick things that help you in your walk in this world as a Christian. Okay? Okay? There are things you already know. Number one. You got to know you have faith. It's faith. faith. And it grows as you grow as a Christian. The Bible tells us that God does not tempt us, but he does test us. Testing of our faith produces endurance, perseverance, faith. Number two, fear God in a biblical way. If you fear God that you're going to mess up, or when you mess up you think he's going to strike you down, that's immaturity thinking. That's unbiblical. God loves you. Okay? Remember, it's not the fear that he's going to whip, it's not the fear that he's going to destroy you, it's the fear that he's going to take his hand off of you. And number three, finish. And finish well. Finish. And finish well. Okay? Faith in God, fear in God, and finish well. Because if you don't finish well, how you started didn't matter. We've got to finish well. Amen? Father, as we're getting ready to close this service, I pray, Father, that our spirit, your word, Lord, has spoken to us in a way that we are reminded that you see everything. And Lord, there is, as we see in sports and movies, where it's all these big high figures, all these characters in the world, celebrities, they have all these fans. Lord, I think Jesus is our greatest fan. And I pray, Father, tonight that we know that there is a big picture for every one of us. Whatever it is you called us to do as individuals and as a church, remind us tonight that we know that your eyes are watching everything and everyone on this earth, including us. May your spirit speak to us tonight in this moment, for it's in Christ's name. Amen. Just as we all stand, let's give you a moment. If anyone wants to come and pray, you may. You can come.